Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now on Masechet Arachin Daf Tetvav Amud Bet. As I mentioned at the end of the previous podcast, this will be a somewhat longer one than usual, as we will be covering a lot of the Agadah and some of the Halachot related to Lashon Hara, etc., beginning with Amar Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ben Zimra. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ben Zimra, near the top of the Amud. Mai Dichtiv, Mai Yitain Lachal, Mai Yosif Lach Lashon Remiah. Pasuk in the first of the 15 Shirei HaMa'alah, in which it seems like someone's talking to someone else about what do you gain by deceptive talk. And the Midrashic take is, Amalek Rosh Baruch Hu Lashon, God is speaking to the tongue. Kol Rav Shel Adam Zkufim Batal Mutal, everything else in a person is standing and you're lying down. Kol Rav Shel Adam Bachutz, everything on a person, every other limb is external. Vatam Bifnim, you have locked you inside, as it were. V'adal Shekav Lecha Shtei Chomot, I have put both teeth and flesh to block you, and so I've done everything I could to keep you from violating and to speaking badly. What do you gain from all of this? Another further drasha, same tradition. If someone speaks lashon hara, it's as if they have denied the existence of God. Who is our master? Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, kol hamasaper lashon hara nigaim ba'im alav. You have plagues or tzarat affect you if you speak lashon hara, and this will begin the long passage about tzarat. Shneimar meloshnim baseter re'eu oto atzmit. It's somewhat of a daisy chain of midrash, because meloshnim baseter re'eu, when he speaks badly, quietly, in secret about someone else, oto atzmit, God says, I will cut him off. Now, what does that mean? Uchtiv hatam latzmitut. The word latzmitut, the same verb, toatzmit, which means in perpetuity, in the context in Bahar, about selling land in perpetuity, matargamin and lachalutin. The targum of that is lachalutin. Udnan e mitzorah muskar, mitzorah muchlat l'priyo frima. That a mitzorah who is confirmed to be a mitzorah is called muchlat. So muchlat, and then muchlat is tzmitut, and tzmitut, and then otoatzmit is therefore a mitzorah is connected to lashon hara. Amarish lakish my dichtiv zotia torah tam mitzorah. At the beginning of parashat mitzorah, the rules of the purification mitzorah are presented with torah tam mitzorah. Zotia torah to shel motzi shem ra. Somebody who is in defect slander. Even though there is nothing explicit in the Torah that says that tzarat, whatever that may be, the skin disease, comes as a result of slander, in spite of the story with Miriam, that may indeed be because of one of the other causes of slander. We'll see what that is. That leads to lashon hara, that leads to negaim. We'll see. First, Tokish, my dichtiv mishochan achash b'lachash ve'initron lebal halashon. You have a very strange kind of comparison in Kohelet of a snake biting and somebody talking. What's the connection? In the future, all the animals will come and come around the snake. We understand a lion kills to eat. A wolf kills and it eats, meaning it kills in order to gain. What benefit do you get from your bite? So he said, so what does a guy gain from saying lashon hara? And it's, I bite because I bite. I don't get anything from it. He speaks because he speaks. He doesn't get anything from it. His sins go up till heaven. Their mouth goes, as it were, all the way up to heaven as their tongue walks on the earth. Somebody who speaks lashon hara should be stoned. Tivacha doesn't mean literally, but ideally should be. Tivacha oto atzmit. You have the oto atzmit that we had in the earlier pasuk. Tivatam samtu vavor chayai vayadu evan bi. This is an echa. They have put me in the. This is Yirmiyahu talking about his terrible experience in the pit that Zidkiyahu threw him in. They threw me into the pit and they threw rocks at me. So the connection again of samtu. It says, if God says, I can't live in the same world as a Baal Lashon Hara, Shinemar, so the second half of that pasuk is somebody who is haughty I can't deal with him. Altikre oto elo uchal ela ito lo uchal. I mean, I can't live with him. It's not room enough in this world for the two of us. Some people learn this, as we saw in the sugyan sota, not about lashon hara, but about arrogance. God says to Gehinom, we'll judge him with a sandwich. I'll get him from the top, you'll get him from the bottom. Shenemar, in that same parak that we started with, the first of the Shirei HaMa'alah, Chitzei Gibor Shnunim, the valorous one's arrows are sharp, Im Gachalei Ratamim, along with hot coals. So Ein Chetzel Lashon, so the arrow is the tongue. Shenemar Chet Shachut L'Sharam Imay Daber, that's in Yirmiyahu, their tongue are like sharp arrows. Ve'en Gibor L'Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Gibor is Hashem. Shenemar Hashem Gibor Gibor Yetzei. Gachalei Ratamim Hainu Gehinom, and that's of course Gehinom, the coals. Okay, Amar B'chamar Rachanina, Mata Kanatosh Masapre Lashon Hara. What can somebody who spoke Lashon Hara, how can they fix it? And Tamar Chacham Yasok B'Torah, Shemar Marpe Lashon Eitz Chayim. The healing for the tongue is Eitz Chayim. And Lashon El Lashon Hara, Shemar Echid Shachut L'Shochan Aram, and Eitz LaTorah, Shemar, of course, Eitz Chayim El Machzikim Ba. If he's not someone who's able to learn Yashpil Dato, he should become humble. Shemar V'Selef Ba Sheveruach. The rest of that pasuk is that the redemption or the salvation is a broken spirit. Rabbi Yachav Rachanin Omer, Siperin lo takana, that's not going to help. He already spoke Lashon Hara, he can't fix it. Bar Karto David Ruach HaKodesh, famous story with the Chavetz Chaim with the pillow, but here we have the pasuk that in Tehillim it says that somebody who speaks Lashon Hara has already been cut off. Shenamar Achreit Adonai Kol Tziftei Chalakot Lashon Medaber Gdolot. The previous statement was not a curative, but rather preventative. How do you make sure not to have Lashon Hara? Okay. His sin is as bad as the big three. Because we said someone who speaks gedolot, big things. When it comes to idolatry, Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in confessing the sin of the eagle, Chata'a Gidolah. When Yosef says to Mrs. Potiphar, I can't give in to you, I would be doing this Ra'a Gidolah, again, Gidolah. Shvichut Amim, Uktiv, Gadol Avonim Miniso. When Cain admits to his killing of his brother, he says, my sin is great, too great to bear. Or actually, he asks, Gadol, what do you mean so? Is my sin too great to bear? But again, the word Gadol is used in the context there. So, we say, what the take is that somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, it's as bad as if they've done all three of these terrible sins. The problem is, the Pasuk says, Gedolot, Lashon Medaberet Gedolot, and so Gedolot should leave us with only two. Because after all, gedolot is the plural, and the minimum plural is, of course, two. Hashem adaber gedolot. So heminar mafka, the problem is, which one of the three would you take out and say, yeah, that's not the one that's included? All right, so Marava Amri and Eretz Yisrael, they said, Lashon tlitai katil tlitai. They would refer to Lashon Araya as the three-pronged tongue, as it were, that kills three. The one that's saying it, the one who hears it, and the mesapro means the one who it's about, and the one who hears it, and the one who says it, are all killed by this. Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. Does the tongue have a hand? Just like a hand can kill, a tongue can kill. But just like a hand can only kill something that's near it, so maybe a tongue can only kill that which is near it. So if the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, then it's like an arrow. So just like an arrow can only go within sight, 40, 50 amot at most, so maybe a tongue can only hurt those who are in sight. So it goes all the way up to heaven. So I have the last pasuk. Why do I need the pasuk in Yirmiyahu to compare it to an arrow? That it kills like an arrow. That I didn't have in the pasuk about Shemayim. What do I need the first pasuk I started with in Mishlei? L'chidu Rava, the Amar Rava, d'boi chayim b'lishane, d'boi mita b'lishane. If you want to live, the answer is in your tongue. If you want to die, the answer is in your tongue. Meaning that if you want to live, speak Torah, speak kind words, speak words of chesed. If you want to die, so speak lashon hara and slander, etc. Okay, we get to a halachic tangent. What is lashon hara? So we amar Rabba, kugon da amar ika nur be planya. Say there's a fire cooking in Plony's house. Buy a microwave. What's wrong with that? You're just telling people that there's a food cooking in his house. The mapik b'leish to b'ishta. You say it in a derogatory way. Amar hechem ishtakach nura elabe planya. Right? Where else is there food cooking? It's only in his house where there's always meat and fish cooking. Right? It's something like your soul tab. So Amar Rabba, meaning you say it in a derogatory way. Amar Rabba kol milta divit amra ba'ape mara. Anything that's said in front of the object, leipa mishum leish to b'ishta. It's not lashon hara. Now, here we probably have to interpret what it means. Anything that could be understood as derogatory, but isn't out and out obviously derogatory, if it's said in front of the guy, obviously it's not meant in a derogatory fashion. Like to say, there's food always cooking at this guy's house, could mean he's a glutton, could also mean he's very hospitable. So if you say it in front of the guy, then clearly you didn't mean in a derogatory fashion. But to say in front of the guy that, he's a terrible person, that's something else. Amare koshken chutzpah v'leishna bishna. So the response to Rabba was that all the more the worse. Not only are you saying Lashon Hara, but you're embarrassing the guy. So Malay Ana Krabi Yossi Sfirali, he said, I'm holding a Krabi Yossi. We'll see how this ties into what I said. And there's two interpretations in the Mishonim here, and these will divide along the lines of what I just said. One interpretation is that I never said something and then took it back. Meaning I never said something away from the guy I was talking about. And then when he showed up, that I turned around and said I didn't really say that. I never denied it. That I never did. The other way to say it is I never said something and looked over my shoulder to see if he was there. Meaning I didn't mind saying it in front of him, which is sort of the same thing. Two ways of saying the same thing. But either way, if we interpret what that means is, I never said anything that is the sort of statement that could be understood one way and it could be understood the other way, and it's an ambiguous statement, and turned around because I never meant it as Lashon Hara. Of course, an out-and-out thing, of course, would be wrong. Okay, Amar Rabba Baravuna. Anything that's said in front of three people is not Lashon Hara. And here, the easiest way to understand that would be that if somebody is sharing something in front of three people, he doesn't mean it to be held discreetly. And therefore, you could publicize it. That's not called Lashon Hara. Okay, my time. Everybody has got a friend, everybody's got another friend. So if you're telling in front of three people, you don't expect it to stay confidential. Initially, you have this statement that if a person blesses his friend with a big, loud voice, in the morning you wake up and you find that it's a curse. What does that mean? When the mikvah of a tachu kame shapir, he comes to a house as a guest, and they work very hard to please him. And the next day you come into the shuk and you tell people, God should bless this guy who really took care of me. So people hear that he's very rich and he's very hospitable. They go and they steal from him. In other words, sometimes by saying nice things about people, you could get them in trouble. This is just what we refer to later as a vak lashon hara, as a person should not speak well about somebody. You end up speaking badly about it. Now, what the way the Rambam interprets this is that if you say something good about someone in front of his enemy, then the guy's going to say, oh, him, yeah, and then that's going to cause him to speak lashon hara. There's another version of that statement, not as a statement, but as a story. Rav Dimi, who was Rav Safra's brother, got sick. Rav Safra Lashilavis, his brother came to visit him. Amalehu Taitili Kaimi called the Amar Rabbanan. And he said, I should have a schar because I fulfilled everything the rabbis advised. Amalehu Hamiki Mikaimt. He said, have you fulfilled this statement? He said, I never heard that one. Had I heard it, I would have kept it. Okay, so maybe that's how we got the information. Now we get to the general sugya of Nigaim. Tzarat. Amar Shmuel Nachman and Rabbi Yochanan, or should be Rabbi Yonatan probably. Ashiv Advan Megayim Bayim. There's seven things that could cause this tzarat that is not leprosy. Meaning tzarat is mistranslated as leprosy. Al Shon Hara, famous. Al Shivchut Tamim. We'll see sources for all of these. Al Shvuat Shav, for a vain oath. Val Gir Al Ereot. Val Gosgasut Aruach Haughtiness. Val Hagezel, for theft. Val Tzarut Ayin, for miserliness. Now, and that we've already seen that connection. Notice they do not invoke Miriam here. Al shvichut damim, why dichtiv yal yachren beit Yoav zav mitzora. When Yoav killed Avner, David was not able to do anything about it. He said bnei tzuria kashim imeni, but he cursed Yoav that he should always have a mitzora in his family. They should all be mitzoraim because of his murderous ways. V'al shvuat shav, dichtiv, ayomer Na'aman hoel v'kach kikrai, muchtiv, atzorat Na'aman tibak b'apacha. Background of the story here is Na'aman, who was a general of Aram, came at the behest of the Na'arami, Eretz Yisrael, and of his king to Elisha to be cured from his tzarat. And Elisha cured him and refused to take any gifts, any tribute from him. As he left, Gehazi, who was Elisha's valet, ran after him and told a fib and said that Bnei Anavim showed up and they're poor and they want some gold, and Naaman gave it to him. And evidently Gehazi was understood to have taken an oath to that effect. And the result was that Elisha cursed him and he said that Tzarat I took from Naaman should stay with you, and Gehazi walked out white as snow. Alright, so we understand that the plagues that Hashem hit Paro with when he took Sarah into his house at the very beginning of the Avrahamic narrative is Tzarat. The story here is that Uzziahu, the young king of Yehuda, became very haughty, and he decided he wanted to do the Ketoret. And the Kohanim told him to back off, don't do the Ketoret, it's not for you. He went in, the minute that he dealt with the Ketoret, immediately had Tzarat, they had to take him out, and he spent the rest of his life ruling from Beit HaChofshit, while his son was actually the regent who was in charge. And that's the story of Uzziahu, and that's Gasut HaRuach. There are those who suggest that that's really why Miriam got Tzarat, not because of Lashon HaRa, but because of the Gasut HaRuach towards Moshe. But unclear either way. V'yala gezel dichtiv v'tzivah koin finuot habayit. In the story of Nagat Tzarat of the houses, which we have all been brought up on, the famous Rashi quotes the Gemara that says the opposite, that the Kananim hid gold in their houses and Hashem would afflict the house, so we tear it apart and find the gold. Here it's the opposite thing. They take the house apart. Tanu kones mamon sheno shelo yavo koin v'yifazer mamono. That the teaching behind it is, this guy must be a thief. The guy whose house it is being afflicted, he brought in money that wasn't his, so he's going to lose his house. From miserliness, again in the Tzarat HaBayit, who comes? The guy who owns the house. And the Atam Mishmael, meaning a guy who lives alone, he won't share his house with anybody. And therefore, because of that, he loses his house. So the point here being that Nigaim come for all of these things, and that there is no real kapara for them. However, watch this very long and very significant drasha. Why is Bigdei Kuhuna written right next to Parshat Korbanot in Tetzaveh? Lomar lacha ma korbanot mechaprin, Bigdei Kuhuna mechaprin. We've seen this already. The Bigdei Kuhuna, each one of the Bigdei Kuhuna has a particular thing that it's mechaprin for that there are no korbanot for. If there's a murderer who somehow got away with it, and whatever, the kapara is the kutonet. Why? They took Yosef's kutonet, tunic, and they dipped it in blood to make it look like he was killed. That's easy. The pants of the Kohanim for sexual immodesty, dichtiv, or impropriety. They have to wear mechasayim to cover up their ervah. That again also is very reasonable. The hat covers gasei ruach. Rabbi Chanina, the thing that's up on top is mechaper for that of haughtiness, of highness. Avnit mechaper tal hiru alev. Again, the belt covers hiru alev. Daecha deite, because it's sitting there, right? Choshen mechaper la dinim, that the choshen that the Kohen wears covers a violation of civil law. Dichtiv asita choshen mishpat. It's called choshen mishpat. Efod mechaper al avodah zarah. The ephod, which, by the way, was used in many other circles as a semantic device, is machaper for avodah zara. Dechtiv ein ephod trafim. In the list of there is no kohen, etc. Ein ephod trafim. Trafim, of course, idols. Me'il machaper al lashon hara. The me'il that the kohen gadol wears, of course, so is the ephod mechoshen of the kohen gadol, is machaper for lashon hara. Something that makes noise, the bells, will be mechaper on voice, which is talking. Tzitz mechaper al maasei azei panim. The tzitz is mechaper for chutzpah. Ktivhacha vayal meitzach aron. Ktivhata meitzach isha zonah yalach. You have the forehead of a very chutzpahic woman of a prostitute. So the idea is the metzach. Okay, so all of that was brought to say that you see Lashon Hara has a kaparat. So why would you get tzarat? So lo kasha, da hanu masav, lo hanu masav. It's very simple. If you were ineffective with your Lashon Hara, there was no bad consequences as a result, nobody lost their job or lost their business or anything else, then this is mechaper. But if it was actually effective, meaning a bad thing happened, then you get tzarat. When he's still not out of the woods. There's two things that we do not find kapara for in korbanot. We found kapara elsewhere. Shvichut amim ulashon hara. Murder and lashon hara. Shvichut amim is be'agla rufa. Lashon hara biktoret. So we have the ktoret. So this, by the way, is a problem because we have Lashon Hara and Shvichut Amim both covered by Big Day Kuhuna. So we now have sort of a double question. At the end of the second story of the Korach rebellion, Aaron brings the Torah in, it's Mechaper, and saves the people from being killed. What's a Mechaper? Lashon Hara. The Torah is always brought inside. Nobody sees it, so it's quiet. And it's mechaper on quietly spoken lashon hara. Right? So kash v'chutamim is v'chutamim. So we now have a problem. V'chutamim is covered by the kutonet. Here it's by a glarufa. Kash lashon hara, lashon hara. Lashon hara is the me'il, and here lashon hara is the ktoret. Which is it? V'chutamim is v'chutamim. Kasha, we could solve that. Hadi yediyaman katle. If we know who killed the guy, who the murderer is, glarufa doesn't work. We don't do glarufa. If we don't know, then glarufa covers it. Wait, did him on Kale Bartale? What do you mean? If we know who it is, the guy's going to be killed. Don't tell me about the Ketonet. So, Mezid Velochube. Let's say you have a case where, on a technicality, he can't be killed because there was no Hatra'ah, but we know who did it. Therefore, we have the Ketonet. Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara Lokasha. How do we resolve that? Habetzina, Habifahesia. Very simple. If the guy spoke quietly, meaning privately, Lashon Hara, then it's the ktoret, which is done privately. If it's befar hesia, then it's the me'il. And of course, if it actually accomplished anything, then it's tzarat. Barmin Rabbi Shmuel bar Nadav mi Rabbi Chanina. So he asked the question. Barmin Rabbi Shmuel bar Nadav chatnei Rabbi Chanina mi Rabbi Chanina. He might have been his son-in-law, but either way, he asked Rabbi Chanina. Barmin Rabbi Shuban Levi. He might have asked Rabbi Shuban Levi, who was at the same time, first generation of Amorah Eretz Yisrael. Why is the Metzorah, the one guy who is isolated out of the camp, has to leave all three camps? The answer given is, he brought problems between other people by his Lashon Hara. He made a man and his wife get in a fight, and new neighbors get in a fight, business partners get in a fight. Therefore, he has to be in isolation. And even Levi, why does he have to bring two birds as his tahara? He did a little chirping thing of talking, therefore he brings birds to chirp. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, we're now into a halachic section of some of the very basic rules of Ben Adam L'Chaviro. The Torah says, lo tisnat achicha b'vavecha, you can't hate your brother in your heart. It should be, I might think that even means not hitting him or not slapping him or not cursing him. This love is only keeping it in heart, inside. Meaning somebody did something to you and you keep an anger inside about it and you maintain the hatred, but you don't do anything about it. And now how do I know, continuing in the same pasuk, that if I see somebody doing something inappropriate, not just he hurt me, but something inappropriate, I should rebuke him. How do I know that I have to keep doing it even though he doesn't accept it? Keep reproving him. Yachol afilu mishtanim panav. I might think even if I embarrass him, tamalom alot isal avcheti. Another pasuk says you shouldn't bear a sin on the result. It means don't reprove him in a way that's going to cause a sin to you. So Tanya, very famous bright. I'm retired from. I wonder if there's anybody in our generation who's able to actually hear rebuke. If somebody says to you, take the stick, or the little stick from between your eyes, he'll say back, take the beam out from between your eyes. Meaning, who are you to tell me what to do? Look how bad you are. Nobody can really hear to get defensive. Amarabala and offensive. Amarabala is one of Zayat. Mihani, Miesh Padua Zashio de Alochiach. I don't know if anybody in our generation knows how to properly give Tochacha, which may be sort of the response to Ritarfon. Yocham and Nuri, Me'in Ani Alai Shamayim Va'aret, Sharbe Pamim Laka Akiv Al Yadi. I can testify, and this is in opposition to that, that many times, Ayiti Kovala Lavifei, Rabban Shimon, should be Ramshami Gamliel. That many times I came, it must be the first Ramshami Gamliel, I came before him, and I complained about Rabbi Akiva. V'choshken shosafti bo'ava, and as a result of it, Rabbi Akiva actually loved me more. Ka'ima shenemar, al tochach leitz pen yisna'eka, don't reprove a silly person, a scornful person, because he'll hate you. Hochech lacham v'chaviaveka, but if you rebuke a chacham, he'll love you more for it, because he'll grow and he'll appreciate your critique. So Rabbi Akiva, so that means indeed, Rabbi Akiva was able to be makabo, and Rechem Nuri knew how to give. V'am Rabbi Yehuda b'raid Rabbi Shimon. So he asked the following question. Tochacha lishma v'anava shelo lishma. Hemin ayra difa. It's a very strange question, but tochacha, which is rebuking, and we'll say for the right reason, but anava, which means humility, in this case restraint, but not for the right reason, which is a better move to take? And big machlok of Rishonim here, are we talking about in one particular circumstance, what's the ideal move, or which midah is better to develop? So he answers as follows. This is Rabbi Shimon saying to his son, don't you agree that ideally anava lishma, that's the best thing? Best humility is the best thing. The best of all the midot is anava. So lishma nami adifa. And he said, if you do it for the wrong reason, it's also okay. The very famous statement, you should involve yourself to Torah mitzvot even for the wrong reason, because ultimately you do it for the right reason. So ideally, do anava, even if it's shelo lishma, and ultimately you'll do it for the right reason. So now the question is, eich adami tochal lishma v'nava shelo lishma? What's the case? Ki adam huna avchia barav avyat v'kamed ishmuel. Here's an example. Rav Huna and Rav's son, Rav has already passed away, they're sitting in front of Shmuel. Amar l'chia barav. So chia barav said to Rav Huna, chazi mar dekamed sarili. But he won't do it in front of Shmuel. Rav Huna is pestering me a lot, he's hurting me a lot, meaning insulting me. So Rav Huna said, okay, I won't do it anymore. After Rav Huna walked out, Rechia Barav told Shmuel, this is what he did to me. So why didn't you say anything? Sorry, when Rechia Barav walked out, Rav Huna explained to Shmuel why he said what he did. So Shmuel said, why didn't you say anything in front of him? He said, I don't want to embarrass Rav's son. Which means that's anava shelo lishma. He was being humble, not because of humility, but because of concern for the other's feelings. That's nice, but that's not what anava is. And that beat tocha. Arechan tocha. How far do you have to go with rebuking someone? Now, rebuking, you have to remember, comes from two very different angles. One is if a person hurt you, and the other is if you see a person doing the wrong thing. So we're going to see how that plays out here. Rav amar ad haka'ah. You have to reprove him until he turns around and belts you one. Shmuel amar ad kalah, till he curses you. Rav Yochanan amar ad nizifah, till he gets angry with you, which we would assume is earlier than that. Ketanoi is the following machloket tanaim. Rav amar ad haka'ah, Shmuel amar ad kalah, Menazer amar ad nizifah. So this machloket amoraim is a parallels an earlier machloket. Rachamar Yitzchak, Rishloshan mikra chadashu. All three of them were learning from the same story of Yonatan at that famous Rosh Chodesh meal standing up for David to his father Shaul. At what point did Yonatan back off? He didn't really back off, he walked out. So remember when the first day David wasn't there, Shaul said nothing. The second day when he wasn't there, he just said to Yonatan, where is Ben Yishai? And Yonatan said, and he asked my permission to go back to Beit Lechem, and Vayicharav Shaul Yonatan. Vayomelo Ben Na'ava Tamadut. So he got angry, and he cursed him. And then, after Yonatan turned around and said, what's wrong? Why, what did David do? Shaul then got up with his spear, and he's about to kill his own son. Now, Lamanda Maraka, If anybody's interested, listen on the OU.org, the podcast of Sefer Shmuel. I have a podcast that is Shmuel Aleph Perakaf, which goes through this in much greater detail, obviously. So the first opinion, it says that you have to reprove him until he hits you, because it says Shaul was about to hit him, and then Yonatan left. Then in the earlier line he said, and he cursed him, he says, shaming you and shaming the nakedness of your mother. That's what Shaul says to Yonatan about David. That as soon as Shaul got angry. But according to the one who says Nizifa, but Yonatan didn't leave at that point, he kept going. Since Yonatan loved David so much, he stuck around beyond what he needed to. Which means, really, at the minute Shaul got mad, he should have walked out. Now, of course, this is a very different story because Yonatan, in effect, was trying to prove to himself that Shaul wasn't out to kill David, and David said, no, you'll see how much he wants to kill me. But we're using this as a model. Now, Ad Hechan, Lo Yishane Adam Bachsan Yashalo. And we said, Ad Hechan Tochacha, how far do you have to go? So now there's another Ad Hechan, which is very different. How far should you go, but you'll see why it's clinging together, to before you change the inn that you stay in, which means you come to a town on a regular basis and you always stay with a particular family. How far does the hospitality have to sour before you leave? We'll see why that's a consideration. Rav amar ad haka'a, till they actually hit you and say, get out of here. Shmuel amar ad shiv shlula kaval l'acharav, until they pack your stuff and put it on your shoulder and say, get out of here. Now, Bakadi de Kulam al Pligi. Everybody agrees that if they hit you, you should leave. And if they give you your Kalim, your own stuff, and pack you out, go, they agree. Ki Pligi Bakar de Vitu, if they hit your wife. Marsala Kevinly de Delo Matsarale, Minaf Kalemina. So one holds, since they didn't hit you, so stick around. It's a very strange sense of hospitality in our sense. Marsala Atu the True Day, that it's going to be make the relationship very difficult. So, the question we're all asking is, why stick around so much? The minute somebody seems to not be happy with your being there, you should leave. The answer is that a guest can hurt and be hurt, meaning that if a guest regularly comes to somebody's house, and then the next time in town they stay somewhere else, people are going to say, oh, why can't the two of them get along? He must be a real difficult guy to get along with, and he must be an unpleasant guest, and it hurts everybody. Where do you see a source that you should stay in the same place every time? When Avram came back from Mitzrayim, he came to the same place that he was originally. The beginning of the pasuk is Vayelech Masaav. He went on his journey. What does that mean? My benayu. According to the second opinion, he even stopped in the occasional visit place. He stayed in those same places that he had stayed for one night. According to the first opinion, he went back to his kavua place, he went back there. So as long as we're talking about constancy, we quote this statement of Yochanan, how do we know that a person should stay with his profession and the profession of his ancestors, the family business as it were? That in one of the ways of telling us the story of the cedars that were cut in order to build the Beit HaMikdash from Lebanon, he took Chiram, which Chiram is also the name of a king up there, that's a version, but and this Chiram is a son of an Ishalmana. She was from Shevet Naphtali, and his father was a Tyrian from Tzor, who was a carpenter. Amar Imeim Beit Dan, and we have a tradition that the mother who was from Shevet Naphtali also had ancestry from Beit Dan. Dan and Naphtali live near each other. That's very reasonable. Uchtiv ito Oliav Menachisamach L'mate Dan. And Oliav from Dan was Betzalel's chief helper. So we find that both on his mother's side and his father's side, he came from woodworkers. Arechlan Tachlit Yisurin, which means, where is the beginning of Yisurin? At what point, what discomfort do you feel should you regard as being afflictions from heaven? You order a suit and it doesn't fit. We got something even better. You ordered hot water and they gave you cold or vice versa. That's also Yisurin. You think it has to be so much as a bad suit? Even if you put on your clothes and they turn out that your tunic is inside out, you have to the tirch of turning it back in. If you put your hand into your money pouch to take out three coins and all you got was two, you have the tirch of going back in for another one. But to give us a little contour here, it's only when you put in to get three and you came out with two, and you have to go back in. But if you went to get two and you grabbed three, it's not a problem. To throw one back in is not a big deal. Why are we so concerned with identifying every little inconvenience that for most of us happened 15, 30 times a day, these sort of inconveniences? Why are we so concerned with finding him? Somebody who has 40 days without any serene, it's like he's already gotten his world handed to him, meaning he doesn't have a Olam Haba, he's got it here. So we would like to identify all sorts of daily inconveniences as being Yisurin, and therefore we haven't had such a period. But Ma'arava Amri in Eretz Yisrael, the way that they would say about this was Pur Anut Mizdamenet Lo. If you have 40 days without Yisurim, you got something big coming, something very bad coming along. From Rosh Hagadol Omer, that's what Lozman Hurkanus. If God had taken Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov to Din, they couldn't have stood up to his rebuke. Shneamar, when Shmuel speaks to the people for the last time about a king, he does it three times, all the generous things God did for you and for your ancestors. What's the generosity? That he didn't put them to Din. The pasuk in a very famous pasuk in Tehillim. This is the generation and its the way we're reading it and its leaders. They have the following disagreement. Chadamar dor lefi parnas. The generation is shaped based on who its leader is. Chadamar parnas lefi doro. The other one was that the leader is shaped based on the generation. So the ma'ihel chata. What's the practical significance? If it's because of like raising up, meaning if you say that the generation is worthy, then you get a good parnas, and if not, and the other one says if you got a good parnas, a good leader, then you get a good generation. That's not true. Haikat Tzidkiah, in the rabbi's read of it, Tzidkiah was a righteous man. And Tanakh is not so clear at all. Davi Mali, Vidoi Lavi Mali, Tzidkiyahu was a good guy, but his generation was rotten. Yehoyakim, three kings earlier, Lo Havi Mali, Vidoi Havi Mali, was the opposite. He was no good, and his generation was good. Why does the text in Yirmiyahu, when it talks about Kibush Yehoyakim, started with Bereshit? He wanted to put the world back to Tohu Vavohu, meaning like the Mabul, because Yoyakim was so bad. So he saw it was a good generation, he backed off. And the opposite, because of the generation of Tzidkiyahu, Shem wanted to create a terrible punishment. He backed off, which means that it's not the case that the generation and the leader fit each other. What we mean is that how tough or how soft the leader is, it depends on the generation. And there you can either say if it's a tough generation, then the leader ends up being a tough guy. Or if it's a tough leader, then you end up having a tough generation. It's a symbiosis. Question is, who really starts the cycle? Okay, we're going to start a very short parak, a Seg Yad Ben Oder, in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.